Welcome to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast, the voice of hockey in America, with your host, Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine.
Welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. We have the good fortune of being joined tonight with Natalie Darwitz, who is about to be inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. We're here in Nashville, Tennessee, and about an hour away from the ceremony. So, Natalie, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You know what? I mean, obviously, I think back to you. You were on the cover with Chrissy Wendell of the early in 2000 of USA Hockey Magazine. And can you ever imagine how far your career has come over these last 18 years?
Yeah. You know, being on that cover with Chrissy, we took that when we were in high school. I think I was a freshman. She might have been a junior. And thank goodness that was the only time we were in different colored jerseys, because it's you know, she's a heck of a player, and quite honestly probably deserves to be in this Hall of Fame too. But you know, then looking in the future from that point on, we were kind of mainstays on the U.S. team, and grew up with each other with the Gophers and on the U.S. team, and you know, just it's kind of been a whirlwind here the last day and a half, and a lot of emotions kind of hit me of thinking about my story and how I grew up playing hockey, and then, you know, playing with the boys, playing with Egan High School Gophers, and then having 10 years with the U.S. team. It's pretty emotional to look back and to realize all the things you were able to accomplish and all the opportunities I was given with this great sport of hockey, just to travel different countries, just to meet amazing teammates. You know, over a 10-year span of USA Hockey, you come across a lot of different teammates from camps and festivals, and just been really lucky and fortunate to meet some great people. And certainly, this is an individual award, but it took an army for me to get here, and a lot of great teammates and a lot of great coaches.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. You were the youngest player when you played on the 2002 Olympics.
Yep.
Was there any one player or maybe a couple players who really took you under their wing and really helped you to develop not only as a player but maybe as a person and ultimately as a leader, because you were the captain on the 2010 team?
Right. You know, the obvious name is the leader who I came in on that team with, and that was obviously Cammy Granato. Obviously, you know, the biggest name in women's hockey. To walk into a locker room, and it was cool at the time because she wore obviously 21 and I wore 22. And so I got to be in the locker room next to her, go on the ice after her. We had a secret handshake before we went on the ice. And just to see how she did things on a day-to-day basis, she was just a genuine, authentic person. And so she kind of took me under her wing. But at the same time, you know, everybody on the team was great and didn't treat me like a 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. They treated me as a teammate and somebody who can make an impact on the team. And so I have really fond memories of you could go down the roster, and I have really fond memories of everybody. At the same time, I know I mentioned Chrissy already, but it was, looking back, amazing to go into USA Hockey at the same time as her and just have a sidekick, a partner in crime, a buddy. We were on the East Coast a lot away from home. And if anyone knows anyone from Minnesota, we're pretty much homebodies. And so to have somebody to share that bond with and to go through that experience with, because at times, you know, it was a rocky road. You're homesick. You're away from family. I was young. She was young. To go through that experience with her and have her by my side was obviously really important and special for me. Looking back, it sounds so cheesy, but everything really happened for a reason. I was brought on that team at a young age and then around great leaders. As you mentioned, two Olympics later, I turned around and captained the team. So there's no coincidence that I was put around some great people to learn from, so that I could then get in that seat and hopefully do the same thing.
Absolutely. Have you... How many of your former teammates have reached out to you when they heard the great news that you were going into the Hall?
Yeah, it was fun to hear from a lot of them. You know, obviously they're the ones that, you know, texted that I was close to. But I thought it was really cool just to hear from some players I haven't heard from in a while. You know, AJ Malesko, Shelley Looney, just the players that I kind of went in so young with. It was cool to just to hear from again, Trisha Dunn, Katie King. I could go down the list, Molly Schaus from the 2010 Olympics. It is really cool because, at the end of the day, it was I hold really fun memories and experiences with those players. And that's what you remember. Obviously, you remember the Olympics and those special times, but you remember the goofy times on the back of the bus or, in the wee mornings of the locker room or and stuff like that. Those are the fun memories that just make you chuckle and make you, put a smile on your face and give you goosebumps.
So now you're a coach. You're coaching at Hamlin University in Minnesota. Is there any of your former coaches that maybe you've tried to emulate or take bits and pieces of their coaching style and incorporate it into your own style?
Absolutely. One of the coolest things of being on USA Hockey is every August there's a festival. And I remember the first couple, Ben Smith brought in Dean Blaze or some other men's college coaches. And so I had a great privilege through playing hockey to be around so many great coaches that, I can say, wow, I loved how that coach, he was a coach's coach or he or she, motivated me in this way. A couple that really stand out to me on the U.S. side is first and foremost Mark Johnson, the 2010 Olympics. Very, very quiet guy, didn't raise his voice a whole lot, but you wanted to literally go through the boards for him and make him proud of you and do whatever you can to kind of just get a tap on the back. And so he was just that type of coach who it was fun to go to practice every day. And that's how the game should be played, especially at the higher levels. You get sometimes it's like, oh, man, is coach going to grind us today? What are we going to do? I knew every day going on the ice with him, he was going to challenge us, but it was going to be fun because that's the way hockey is supposed to be. And obviously I had Ben Smith for 8 years, and he was, has his own quirks and everything like that.
The Smithisms.
So there's certainly things that I took from him and try to, bring to coaching. So I heard a quote, all coaching is stealing drills from other ones. So I've certainly done my fair share of stealing their drills and bringing them to Hamlin. But at the end of the day, I try to be myself. At the same time, bring experiences that I learned from that maybe are relevant to what's going on at Hamlin that I can communicate to the girls with and that they can grasp and have an aha moment and be able to either trudge out of the mud or if we're, flying high, continue that. So certainly a huge, again, hockey's kind of gone full circle now with, the plane. Now I'm on behind the bench and had many, great coaches to have in my hockey career that I now can take pieces from and make into my own.
And you have two young sons. Two questions here. One is, are they playing hockey yet? And then the other is, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but where you kind of see your future once maybe your family, gets a little bit older and things like that. Where do you see your future in the game?
Yeah. So the first question, my boys are 3 and 1.5, so we got a little early. We got the 3-year-old last year on skates last winter. It was more or less just get him comfortable on the skates, see if he could stand, off the ice and walk in the skates, and then could he put his feet down for a few seconds. So hopefully this summer, or not this summer, but hopefully this winter, we get him out there a little bit more. Because all it is just getting him out there and getting his feet wet and seeing if he likes it. The 1.5-year-old, we'll just get him out in our arms, feeling the wind in our face. We live on a lake in Minnesota, so we're going to plow it off and put a little rink back there and get him on the open ice as much as possible and open skates as much as possible. So hopefully hockey's in their future if they're growing up around the rinks. They come to every as many Hamlin games as they can, so they're rink rats already. And then the second question, where do I see myself in coaching when the kids are maybe a little bit older, where I can, kind of duck out and put a little bit more attention to coaching. I'm really competitive still, and I love hockey at the highest level. So if if doors open for me, either D1 or possibly US and coaching the National Olympic team, I'm obviously going to be open to it. But for right now, just where I'm at in life, I want to be home with my boys and raise them and see all the cool, you know, milestones that they reach. So I'm content right now, but at the same time, I'm a person who believes in personal growth, and you don't get that unless you're challenged. So, you know, it could be a possibility. I hope it is. And we'll see where kind of life takes me here.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you're in high demand here tonight, and so I'm sure you want to get ready to enjoy the night with your family. And so anyway, thank you for taking the time, and congratulations on an award that's very richly deserved.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, and thanks, everybody, for listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.
You've been listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast, produced by Norman Hayward and Jeff Carpenter. Be sure to follow us on usahockeymagazine.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening.